Okay, welcome back everyone to another episode of Chatty Potter. Today I'll be talking to my friend Holly about growing up with Harry Potter from a young age, and also talking about if the characters were musicians, what kind of musicians they'd be. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Before I do, I just want to say thank you to everybody who has supported us on Patreon so far. You can support us for £5 a month on patreon.com/chattypotter, and everybody who is backing us through July will enter a prize draw at the end of the month to win a bunch of Harry Potter goodies, including wands, robes and all sorts. So without further ado, Holly, thank you for joining me. Do you want to talk about what you do on the internet, the kind of content you make?
Yeah, so I'm a singer-songwriter based in Nashville, Tennessee, but I have always just kind of loved all realms of being creative and performing. And so mainly my main platform right now is TikTok. And, you know, some of it is music-based, and on like all my live streams, I play all original music. But I have just kind of dove into bringing people along with me on my everyday life. So I post anything from what I'm cooking to where I'm going to what I'm reading and how I'm doing my hair. And it has just been such a fun and interesting journey on TikTok.
I gotta say, I am obsessed with your series of videos in that shop that sells things for like $5 some days and like 25 cents other days. Like, I cannot get enough of those.
It's so strange. Yeah, I've been recently kind of on a kick looking for like bargain stores because it's so much fun and you never know what you're gonna find. It's like you're on a treasure hunt, honestly.
Sweet. So, Harry Potter fan?
Yes, forever. And it's so funny, actually, the first video that I had get like over 100,000 views on TikTok when I had maybe 100 followers was a Harry Potter video. For my 27th birthday, I threw a Harry Potter party where basically I told all my friends, hey, we're going to binge watch all the movies, come over whenever you want. I started in the morning and people just came over all day and we just watched all the movies, and I had all different kinds of Harry Potter themed treats. And for the cake, we did Sorting Hat cupcakes. And so the wow. Video of the Sorting Hat cupcakes is what went viral. So basically, you know, you dye the cake of each cupcake like a different house color, and then you cover the top so you can't see what you're getting.
That's so cool. Was it accurate? Like, leaving it to the fates, did people get the houses they thought they were going to get?
Oh, people were hilarious. They were like checking under the icing to like make sure they got their house.
That's so funny. But people are like super tribal about their houses, right? People relate so heavily.
Oh, extremely. I mean, I'm the same, you know, but.
Yeah, which house are you?
I'm Hufflepuff. You are Slytherin?
I'd say, so when I first got into Harry Potter, I was like Slytherin, absolutely. And it became like, because I was that age where I was like on Tumblr and these little things that you latch onto become such an intense part of your identity. So I like clung to Slytherin, right? And then as I've gotten older, I'm noticing more and more Hufflepuff traits in me. But here's the thing, if I were at Hogwarts, I would have been sorted already. So I can't just change. So I've sort of hybridized both of them, but I guess Slytherin because of when I was 11.
Do you agree with what Dumbledore says? I think it was to Snape where he said, perhaps we sort too early.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I feel like there's too much pressure put on kids anyway, like to make life-changing decisions really early.
When did you actually take the Pottermore test for the first time?
When it came out, like as soon as they dropped it. I remember the YouTube video where J.K. Rowling announced Pottermore. I don't know if she explicitly said what Pottermore was going to be before mm-hmm. it dropped, like just in that announcement video, or if they did, it was at least not super clear. So I was super excited for Pottermore to come out. And then when it did, there was going to be a sorting, but the sorting wasn't out yet. And then eventually when it came out, I think I took it like the day of, if not like a couple days after. And it came out Slytherin. I was like, am I going to have to redo this a couple times to get the result I want? And I didn't have to.
So I was like such a late bloomer to Pottermore because like while I grew up reading Harry Potter and like watching all the movies, I didn't have like a friend group really that was all involved in Harry Potter. Most of my friends weren't actually allowed to read Harry Potter.
Oh, really?
Because Yeah, it's interesting. But
can we unpack that in a minute? Finish the story, but let's unpack that after.
I don't know if I have much to necessarily add. I've never truly understood, but anyways, so I didn't discover the Pottermore test until I was like in college or maybe even out of college.
Oh wow.
So and I was obsessed with Ravenclaw. I was just like, I'm a creative and I love learning. I'm gonna be a Ravenclaw. And then I take the test and it's like Hufflepuff, and I was like, what? I was like, no, I'm taking it again. And so I took it again, but I made myself answer like the second most truthful answer. You know, like if I couldn't pick my first answer, what would I pick?
Yeah.
And it was a Hufflepuff as well.
Oh no.
And then I started actually like really reading Hufflepuff traits and like, you know, getting into the Hufflepuff world. And I was like, wait a second. No, this is actually completely me. So
it really
just shaped my, I feel like, identity over the last like 5 or 6 years.
That's quite nice that you didn't spiral into like an existential crisis though. Like if you clung to Ravenclaw for that long and then it told you otherwise, it's nice that you embraced that instead of just like shutting down and going introspective.
I don't know though now if I took it and got a different house, how I would feel internally, you know.
Before you did the Pottermore test, did you do any like BuzzFeed tests or anything like that? Had you done anything to sort you?
I'm sure I did, but I don't remember what it would have been. I loved those BuzzFeed quizzes, you know, like which character would you marry? Which character would be your best friend? But they ask you things like, what's your favorite cake? You know, it was always so trivial and just like strange for those quizzes.
I mean, that's important when you're picking a life partner in it to find out what your favorite cake is.
What's your favorite cake? Perfect. Here you go. Here's your person.
I like that. Sorry. So let's jump back to the fact that your friends weren't allowed to read Harry Potter or go on Pottermore. Is that like, is that quite a common thing?
Yeah, it really was, like where I was growing up. And I think it was all based, you know, around religion.
Right. Okay.
But it was only Harry Potter, it seemed like. Like they all like, you know, watched Lord of the Rings and read the Chronicles of Narnia, and anything else that was fantasy related was fine. But I don't know what it was about Harry Potter. We didn't like talk about it in detail. I just had a lot of friends who were just like, no, I'm not allowed to watch that or read that, which is, you know, interesting. Was that not a thing in the UK?
I don't think so. Like, I know that like kids will sometimes be allowed to like read or watch them up to a certain film until they're deemed as like getting too dark or too scary or whatever until they get older. But in terms of like ideology or contrasting with religion, I don't think I've ever heard of that. Like, I'm sure there are some people somewhere who are just like, witchcraft, goodness me, my children are not being around that. But no one in my immediate circles, as far as I know anyway.
Yeah, no, it was a real thing growing up. Even like when we kind of read them in school, there'd be certain, you know, parents who'd write in notes and things like that.
Goodness. Actually, so that's like my first memory of Harry Potter, which I wanted to ask you about yours in a minute. I remember we had a reading class in our English class when I was like, goodness me, I think I was in like year 3 or 4. So I must have been like 6 or 7 years old, maybe. And the first book had just come out. And so we read it. And I remember we had been reading The Iron Giant. And the main character in The Iron Giant is called Hogarth, if I'm remembering correctly. And so we went from reading that to reading Harry Potter. And I remember I mispronounced Hogwarts as Hogwarts because I was still thinking about The Iron Giant. And my entire class made fun of me, right? And that is my first memory of Harry Potter. Do you remember like your first instance of reading or interacting with the series?
I do. My first grade teacher, Mrs. Falkenberg, she loved the first Harry Potter book when it came out. And so this was the year 2000 when she read it to us. When did it come out?
97, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So it was either 99 or 2000 that she read it to us as a class. And I mean, I just remember she had what she called the reading tub. She had like a clawfoot bathtub in our first grade classroom. It was so cute, but it was, now looking back, it's like, what? And it was filled with pillows. And so every day you'd like draw a name of who got to sit in the bathtub full of pillows while everyone else had to sit at their desk. Cause it was like so comfortable and cozy. It was like weird thing that the kids loved to fight over. So the whole time she read us the first Harry Potter book, we were fighting over, you know, every day who got to sit in like the reading bathtub full of pillows.
Oh my goodness. I can see why that's stuck in your mind. That is the strangest story I have ever heard.
No, but then I, you know, dove into them and just absolutely loved reading them.
You know, I'm kind of gutted that I read them young, because I feel like now, if I were to read them for the first time, well, I don't know whether I'd get the magic though, because I'm a bit older. But like, you ever get that when you love something so much and you're just like, I wish I could experience this for the first time over again? Being older, do you think, I don't know, do you think if you read it again for the very first time, you'd love it as much?
I think the fact that we're on a podcast called Chatty Potter, we would definitely love like them just
as
much.
You're probably right.
Like, I think the fact that we're still obsessed with it means we would probably still just love it if we get to experience it for the first time.
So those are your first experiences with the books. Do you remember your first experiences with the movies? Because they were like a whole different phenomenon, right?
Yeah. Weirdly, I don't. Like, I wasn't like a huge movie theater goer as a kid, but I just kind of watched them whenever they would come out on DVD with the friends who were into Harry Potter. But my biggest Harry Potter movie experience was the very last one. One of my best friends was super into Harry Potter. And so we spent the 2 days before it came out and we watched every single movie. And then we dressed up and then we went to the midnight release.
So I saw the Chamber of Secrets in the theaters. And then I don't think I saw any of them in the theaters until The Half-Blood Prince. And that's The Half-Blood Prince and the two Deathly Hallows movies came out the midnight of my birthday. And I remember I tried to convince them to dress up for the final one and just no one wanted to do it with me. The moral of this story is we should have been friends 10 years ago.
Yeah, we should have been friends. Did you go to the midnight releases of the books?
No. I remember the final book coming out, and I was going camping with my mum, and I'd never been camping before, and she bought us the books beforehand. And I just stayed up all night and just read. But I don't think I ever queued up for it. I don't even know if that was a thing, if like the bookshops stayed open until midnight here.
The funniest experience for me with the book releases was, so I was in a classic rock cover band whenever I was like a teenager. And we played a show basically for the Harry Potter book release of, I believe it was the Deathly Hallows, because I was like 14-ish. And it was just so funny. There was this... I'm from like the Louisville, Kentucky area, which is like a decently big city. And there's this street that has like all these different stores. And one of them was a Borders bookstore. And they had like a big stage in the middle of the street. So bands would do performances there. So we specifically played for the release of the Harry Potter show or Harry Potter book. And so everyone in the audience are these like little kids dressed up like Harry Potter characters. And then also their parents who loved classic rock. So it was a blast.
That's so funny. Did you play like Harry Potter themed music? Because that was a thing for a while, right?
Yeah, when I was in New York, I lived in New York for a while, and I went and I saw the, I think it's called Draco and the Malfoys. They're a band, and they play shows around New York.
Oh my goodness. So you mentioned you're a musician. So I thought it would be fun to play a game about if Harry Potter characters were musicians.
Oh my God, so love that.
If I give you a Harry Potter character, you tell me what genre of music you think they'd play.
That's brilliant. I love it. Let's do it.
Thank you. I came up with that myself. Okay, let's start with Harry.
Okay. So in my mind, I don't feel like I can put Harry in a genre until he's also with Ron, because I feel like they would be in like a boy band together where they would totally be doing like boy band music, but they would be like, no, this is rock, you know?
Right.
And then I feel like Harry would be like the lead vocalist and Ron would be the backup, but Ron would always be like, can I sing some lead too? And they'd have to be called something like The Chosen Ones. Like, let's be real. Picture a boy band called, like, The Chosen Ones. Like,
100%. And then, like, Ron would have, like, a chip on his shoulder about the fact that he's not actually The Chosen One.
He's not actually. Exactly. Yeah.
He'd have that, like, best friend syndrome that he has in The Goblet of Fire. Yes. Where he doesn't get any of the attention. Yes.
That's literally the era that I'm picturing this band happening during, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Do you think, like, eventually they'd break apart because of those differences and Harry would have a really successful solo career?
I think so. And then I think like Ron would do like weird, like sad, you know, like singer-songwriter emo music. And I say that as a person who writes a lot of sad singer-songwriter songs. But I think Ron would have like a cult following. You know, there'd be the people who like didn't want to follow the mainstream career and they followed Ron's career instead.
Oh, 100%. And they'd be turning to their friends and be like, oh, you're a fan of Harry? No, I listen to Ron. No. His music's more pure.
Exactly.
100%. What about Hermione? Do you think she, what kind of music do you think she'd make?
Hermione. It's funny. I think Hermione would not be an artist herself. I think Hermione would be a songwriter. She studies like the craft of songwriting and is like obsessed with writing the perfect song for someone else to sing.
I love it. Cause like I guess she wouldn't crave the limelight or anything.
But yet she could still, you know, use her awesome brain.
I love it. How about Ginny?
Oh man, I see. Okay, we're doing book Ginny in my mind.
100%. The only Ginny.
Yes. I think she would be like an Avril Lavigne type.
Yes. Right? Oh, I love that.
I think she'd be like a early 2000s like pop punky, like, you know.
Yeah.
Totally put some like blue streaks in her hair and
let's go Neville before we go on to some slightly more complex characters.
Oh, I feel like Neville would be like folk Americana. Maybe like even like Lumineers. Kind of.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Neville would be kind of like that, but a little bit more probably solo. Maybe he'd have like a banjo player along with him.
Unless it's late book Neville, I can't see him going on stage by himself anyway. No. I think he'd need the confidence push of someone being with him.
For sure. And I could see him like, you know, playing the coffee shops, like slowly getting into it. But then people, I think, would just love him because he's like authentic and he'd be writing about only his like real experiences and like slowly sharing his stories and songs. It would be beautiful.
Nice. Okay, Draco.
Oh my gosh. He's a hard one because like, I don't know, like my first instinct would be put him in like a hard rock band, but I don't know. I feel like it would be more like angsty singer-songwriter, you know, like with him and his acoustic guitar. I'm literally kind of picturing like, I don't know if you've seen any like Tom Felton's just like...
Yeah.
Where he's playing music, but then make that Draco so things would be a little bit angstier and like sadder, I feel like.
Yeah. I feel like he'd take himself really seriously.
Things would be like, this is my art. Like, you know, like everything would be very serious.
Amazing. And they're like, Harry and the Chosen Ones are up there at number one. And he's like, that's not real music. Okay. They are sellouts.
Yeah, they're sellouts. That's the only reason they're there.
I love that. Okay. Voldemort.
I feel like he'd be more likely to like own a record label.
Yes.
You know, he would be like choosing who gets famous, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like picking the artist that he wants to be famous. But definitely as Tom Riddle, he definitely, you know, wrote songs alone in his bedroom that he never showed to anyone.
Without question. And if Voldemort owned a label, it would be like he'd be super exploitative as well. Like he'd sign people into like lifetime contracts where they don't own anything.
Yeah. The deals where you like literally sell your soul. Mm-hmm. That would be Voldemort. Record label.
100%. Do you have a name for his label?
I hate that. I just want to go with the Dark Mark because, like, nice. Dark Mark Records, like, that would be.
That's sick. Actually, I'd sell my soul just to be on a label with that name. That's cool. Okay, we'll flip it now. Like McGonagall, someone a lot more like hearty and true.
I feel like she would be in like a quartet, like a string quartet.
Yeah.
I feel like she'd be more on the musician side.
Oh my goodness, I can imagine her doing like classical music. Actually, you're right.
It'd be fun. Like I'm picturing the dancing scene, you know.
Yes, either that or she's just got like a solo bagpipe album, just covers of popular songs on the bagpipes.
That would be amazing.
Okay, and then if the Marauders formed a band.
Oh my gosh, I think they would be like a garage rock band.
Yeah.
They would, you know, write their own like rock music from their garage. And I think that all their friends, they'd open up the garage door and all their friends would like sit out front and like listen to them play. And then they'd slowly book like bigger shows around town.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and they wouldn't take it that seriously. They'd just be there to like hang out and have a good time.
James would be, I would say, lead guitar and singing. I think Sirius would probably be drumming. Mm-hmm. Peter would be on bass and Lupin would be on keys.
Nice. And Lupin also like, or Lupin or Lily would like manage the band, I guess.
Yes, of course. I think Lily would definitely manage the band.
Amazing. Oh, I love it. I got a few. So I made a series of videos on TikTok where I asked like what I think are quite difficult like choices to make within the Harry Potter universe. So I want to get your answers on some of them. Okay.
Okay.
So if you had to remove a house from all of Hogwarts, which house are you removing?
I remember this question from your video and I remember not posting this video because I couldn't answer this question. Okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm sorry, but Slytherin.
Whoa. I'm personally offended. Are you kidding me?
Literally like half my best friends are Slytherin, so they're going to hate me for sure.
I feel like you looked me dead in the eye to see my reaction there as well.
I did this little. Okay, and here's my thing. I think I still am probably making that decision based on the way the books were written, mm-hmm. not just based on the traits.
Sure. Like you get rid of most of the evil characters by getting rid of Slytherin, right?
Yeah. Because arguably, you could probably get rid of Gryffindor or Slytherin, and there's such an overlap with like character traits that I feel like you would still have a place for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, you could resort them like comfortably. Like, although I don't know, where would Malfoy be if he wasn't in Slytherin? Like,
I mean, I truly think he could have been Gryffindor if everything was different. If everything was different,
if he was an entirely different character, he could have been in Gryffindor,
I don't think we see that until, you know, the Deathly Hallows, but I think he could have a tiny bit of Gryffindor traits in there.
Yeah, because he is kind of a coward early, but I guess, like, mm-hmm. if he'd had a different upbringing, maybe he would be less cowardly if he hadn't been, like, pigeonholed by his parents and their beliefs and stuff.
Yeah, it's literally just the moment where they say, like, is this Harry Potter? And he's like, I don't know. You know, that one little moment is why I think he would be in Gryffindor if he wasn't in Slytherin.
Really? See, I think he does that out of cowardice more than, like, willing to say. Yeah, I think he has seen his family mess up so many times mm-hmm. in the past couple of years, since the Order of the Phoenix, right, with his father in the ministry. And they have messed up and they have messed up and I think he is so afraid of like committing to an answer there that they call Voldemort, that he says no, so they don't have to call Voldemort and there's the potential of getting it wrong doesn't occur. You know what I mean?
Dang it. I almost like had one thing that I liked about Malfoy and I think he just ruined it.
I mean, I could be wrong. It's not in the text. That's just my take on it. But you are wrong and I am right.
Yes. Well, I mean, I actually see it in this case because I think I have so many people on TikTok who love him so much. Mm. So I kept like, you know, the last time I read through the books, I'm like analyzing his character more like, where are his redeeming qualities? And that was the one thing I kind of always clung on to. But no, I think he just killed it.
I'm so sorry. If for what it's worth, like, I feel like Malfoy is how he is in the early books because of his parents. So whilst he is definitely not a good person, I don't think he's necessarily morally responsible for that. Like, you imagine an 11-year-old comes up to you and just shouts, you know, like, you know, immigrants are all bad, right? And you're like, you're 11. There's no way you formed that opinion by yourself. So, yeah, so I feel like you can you blame the parents for that. And when Malfoy starts to become morally responsible for his decisions, his family is being threatened with death from Voldemort. So it's like, well, even if he wanted to be a good person, he probably doesn't want his family to die. So he has to try and, you know, kill Dumbledore. And he gets very desperate, which is why he curses Katie Bell and stuff. Yeah. And so I feel like whilst he makes some terrible decisions and he's not a good person, I wouldn't say he is solely morally responsible for the bad choices he makes.
Agreed.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Okay. Nice. So hopefully that replaces the one instance where you thought he was okay and I ruined it for you. Okay. Next question. If you were a character, any character from the series, which character do you think you'd be?
I think I would be Luna. Like, or yeah, somewhere between Luna and Ginny. Like, if Luna and Ginny from the books were mixed, I feel like that's a lot like me.
My favorite character. Aww. Good choice. Also, if Luna and Ginny from the books mixed, that is like the ultimate character, I feel like. That is like the perfect human being.
So that's why I guess I want to be. I can't say that I am that, but maybe that's who I want to be.
Okay, you get a job in the Wizarding World as an adult. What job are you having?
I actually think I would love like anything with like Muggle relations.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I really would. I would love to like interact with people who weren't magical while being magical and just to see like how, you know, our world had influenced them or if they had any like awareness of it. I mean, it would be hard though if you were doing like memory spells on people, like that would be difficult. But yeah, I think I would like to work in like wizard Muggle relations.
That would be cool. I like that. It would be so funny seeing how different types of people would react to the knowledge that there is magic as well. Because I feel like some people would be so excited and other people would be really freaked out, and like every instance of in between as well.
I'm trying to think of how I would react like in real life, like right now, like freaked out and excited, I'm sure, you know?
I just don't think I'd believe it. I'd just be so skeptical. Mm-hmm. Like, it would take a lot for me to be like, oh yeah, okay, fine. Okay,
this is real magic. This isn't just like a really good magic trick.
Exactly, just somehow camera tricks in real life. Okay, final question. If you could get a tattoo that moves like the portraits do in the Wizarding World, what moving tattoo would you get?
It would be really cool to have a like a tree that had like the leaves were able to like kind of like move in the wind, you know? Like,
I love that.
But does that count as like a moving tattoo? I would say 100%. That would. Because if you take a picture of a tree in a Wizarding World, it moves still, right? It kind of goes on. Yeah.
Would you have the tattoo change by seasons as well? Like the leaves change color and stuff?
I mean, if that's an option, that'd be amazing.
Well, thank you so much for doing this with me. This has been so much fun, like just talking about Harry Potter and getting nostalgic about it when we were children as well. Like, so much fun. Is there anything you want to plug while you're here?
Actually, yes. So I, as we've mentioned a couple times, I'm a singer-songwriter and I release music on Apple Music, Spotify, etc. And I actually made Hogwarts Common Room House playlist on Spotify and Apple Music. So if you go to like Spotify and search my name, Hollyanna, if you scroll down on my profile, you can see a section that says playlists, and it will have all of the Hogwarts House playlists with music that I believe will be played in each playlist in each common room.
Amazing. I'm actually about to go for dinner and I will put the Slytherin playlist on. That's going to be brilliant.